My message this morning, I'm sure, is quite different than anything that you have ever heard before. It's entitled, The Truth About Water Witching, Dowsing, and Occult Powers. If we were to classify this message this morning, it would come under the heading of Information and Caution. It's not my intention that this should be a program of entertainment, but I present it very seriously and trust that you will receive it in that same manner. There is a vast amount of information on this subject, and this morning we will be, as it were, just scratching the surface of it. To some of you, this subject will truly be entirely new. Others of you have heard about it in the past, and some of you may have some preconceived ideas about the subject of water witching and dowsing. But I do ask you to listen with an open mind this morning and with a prayerful heart. Probably, first of all, we ought to give a definition of water witching and dowsing. Also, we can include another term in connection with it, and that is divining. Water witching, divining, or dowsing. It is the art of locating underground water by the use of a forked stick or some other device. Here is a typical example of what the water witchers will use. They will cut themselves a stick from a tree in the form of a fork, and then they will hold it like this and go over the ground, and when they come to a place where there is supposed to be a good supply of water, the stick will turn down, indicating that that is the spot to drill the well. The question I want to ask this morning, is water witching and dowsing based on scientific principles such as gravity or magnetism, or is a supernatural power involved? If this art is based upon scientific principles, then proof should be available. If there is an attraction between a forked stick and water, then truly, delicate scales ought to be able to measure this attraction. The result of one particular test is as follows. The stick weighed over dry ground with no water in it weighed 13.425 grams. The same stick over a great quantity of water weighed 13.425 grams. Exactly the same. There was no greater pull or attraction of the stick downward over the water than there was where there was no water at all. Now, many scientific tests have been made regarding this subject of water witching and dowsing. In fact, our government has made hundreds and hundreds of tests to see if there is any scientific basis for it, and they have found none. Therefore, we should conclude that a supernatural power is involved. The question I'd like to ask again is, does a forked stick in the hands of a water witcher locate underground water? The answer is yes. Do not ever have the idea that it is a trick or a sleight of hand. A forked stick in the hands of a water witcher will locate water underground. From the Reader's Digest of May 1976, page 136, I read this quotation. Take the case of New Sharon, Maine, a small town which until last summer was so short of water that residents were restricted to one bath a week. In 5 years, the town had spent $180,000 worth of federal loans into geological studies and deep wells that consistently turned up dry. As a last resort, community officials hired a professional dowser for $500. And armed with his dowsing rod, he shortly located a site. And when it was drilled, the well provided all the water that the town could use. Notice that for 5 years they tried to drill a well and find water. They could find none. They hired this man, and in a few minutes, he pointed out a spot, and they found all the water that the town could use. These water witchers are positive of their ability. There is a book entitled Henry Gross and His Dowsing Rod. On page 60, I read this statement. In the interests of farmers whose wells go dry in droughts, I offer a proposition to Professor Ray M. Kuhn. I offer to take three water dowsers to any section of New England and locate a vein of water within 30 feet of the surface, announce its depth, and drill to it at my own expense and strike water within 1 foot of the estimated depth. Professor Kuhn must then drill a similar depth over any adjacent spot that has no effect on a dowsing rod. If he can strike water at the depth I struck it, I will pay the expense of drilling, and in addition, I will donate $1,000 to the University of Massachusetts. The water witchers are absolutely positive of their activity because it does work. But most water witchers discover, after they have worked with these devices for a period of time, that they can do many other things of supernatural acts. This Henry Gross, the author of this book, on page 63, he says, "What this rod will do doesn't seem right. All I have to do is to touch the tip of it to anything at all, and then it will work on that thing or on anything exactly like it. It will keep on doing it until I wash the tip in water or rub it in the grass. That seems to sterilize it, as you might say. And then it is ready to start working on anything else it is touched to." And going on, he says, "For a time, we experimented on foods and drinks. When Henry's rod was touched to a drink of rye whiskey, it would work only over rye whiskey and not over bourbon or scotch or blended whiskey or any other liquor. When touched to bourbon, it would work only on bourbon. When touched to cheap blended whiskeys, it would work, it worked over any cheap blended whiskey, including imitation scotch, but not over rye, bourbon, or scotch. Now, you mean to tell me that a stick, when you touch it to something, that it will no longer react to anything else except something exactly like that. And you wash the tip of it, and then you can go and touch it to something else, and then it will work and respond to that." Henry soon discovered that there was no need to dip the tip of his rod in the substance to which he wished his rod to point. If, for example, he wanted to show his bottle experiment to a room full of friends, Henry needed only to touch the tip of the rod to an unopened and sealed bottle, and then his stick would work only over the bottles of that same type of drink. But then, if he would touch it to one of a different type, then it would ignore the first one and would work only over the bottles that were the same type of drink. Now, you tell me that a stick knows the difference between different kinds of drinks. Is a supernatural power involved? And if so, is this power from God or is it from some other source? Now, other substances other than water can be located with a forked stick. Reading from this previous source, a noted water witcher by the name of Evelyn M. Penrose, and she states, "The first indication I get of oil, that is, searching for petroleum, the first indication that I get of oil is a violent stab through the soles of my feet like a red-hot knife. When over the oil itself, the action of the rod is so violent that I am turned and twisted about like a doll on the end of a string and can hardly keep my feet. On the strongest dome of the main oil field, the shock from the oil was so great that I crumpled up and collapsed, being unable to open my left hand or straighten my left side for what seemed like a long time, although it probably was only a few minutes." She describes it similar to that of an electric shock. Have any of you, when you've been too close to a filling station or a barrel of oil, have you felt a lot of strange feelings? Have you felt electric shocks? Have you crumpled up and fallen to the ground? All right, reading on a little bit further. It says, the action of divining, or dowsing, or witching. Divining is the same thing. The actual divining is exhausting. As I have just said, the actual finding of the water is exhausting. It is as if some power or virtue goes out of oneself. Sometimes when finding large quantities of water, and more especially when finding oil or minerals, I have been seized with violent physical sickness. Now the water witchers and dowsers and diviners claim that it is electrical currents that is responsible for working their device, whatever it may be. And we want to consider that a bit further. Now, does Satan use the powers of electricity? From the book Evangelism, page 606 and also 609, the apostles of nearly all forms of spiritism claim to have the power to cure the diseased. They attribute their power to electricity, magnetism, or the so-called sympathetic remedies, while in truth they are but channels for Satan's electric currents. Now, other devices work the same as the forked stick or the wand. Another device is known as the pendulum. You can put any kind of an object you want on the bottom of a stick. The simplest way is just to find a stone. And that will work for you the same as the pendulum or the stick. Here Henry Gross said, he says, just hold out your hand, flatten it out, palm up, and hold it still, about waist high. When I did so, he suspended the round stone over the center of the palm and just stood there waiting. In a moment, the stone began to make a small circle clockwise. The circle increased and increased until the stone was inscribing a circle 8 inches in diameter above my hand. As the circle grew larger, I felt a tingling sensation on the surface of my hand, a tingling that became as sharp as an electric shock, so that I snatched my hand away from under the revolving stone. And Henry laughed. That's just what it does to my wife, he said. And he rubbed his left arm thoughtfully. I get the same tingling feeling in my arm when the pendulum starts working. Sometimes the tingling goes clear to my shoulder, and then it's about time for me to stop. Now the pendulum will obey what you tell it to do. I read on. Henry discovered that he could stop his pendulum from rotating or from swinging back and forth, either over himself or over someone else, by merely telling it to stop, or on which the pendulum would hang motionless until it was released, until told that it could again start moving. He next discovered that he could stop a pendulum in anyone else's hand, not only by audibly ordering it to stop, but by silently willing it to stop. So there is an intelligent power that is operating. All right, this stone hanging on a string can tell the sex of an unborn child. Hold it over the mother, and if it is a girl, it will go around in a circle. But now if it's a boy, it will swing back and forth like this. That's a pretty smart stone, isn't it? Is that based upon electricity or gravity or something else? There is a supernatural power involved. All right, the pendulum can also be used in another way. You can take a plate and all around the edge put the entire letters of the alphabet. You can hold this over the plate and ask a question. And that stone will move over to the edge one at a time to the different letters, and it'll spell out your answer. Now, is that based upon electricity? Is that based upon magnetism or gravity? Only a supernatural power can spell out answers that can understand what you say and spell out the answers. Now, how many of you have heard of a Ouija board? It's a little different from the plate. It has all of the letters of the alphabet. It has numbers from 1 through 10. It has yes and no and so on. And here is a little device that is placed upon it. Two people may sit down. They may place this on their knees or on a table. And each individual places one hand on this. You ask a question, and this thing then will forcibly move and point to the different letters. You write down those letters, and it will spell out the answer to your questions. Now, is that based upon electricity, or is that based upon some supernatural power? Now, a number of years ago, I lived in a community where a neighbor, the lady, had heard about a Ouija board, that it will answer questions for you. So she went to the store and wanted to get a good one. This is the one she bought. She took it home and began to ask questions of it. And after 3 days, she was nearly out of her mind, and she was going to burn it. I heard about it, and I got on the phone, and I called her. I says, I understand you're going to dispose of your Ouija board. Yes. Would you please be willing to let me have it? Not that I wanted to use it, but I wanted it as an illustration. And I said, also, would you be willing to give me a list of all of the questions and the answers that you got on this Ouija board while you were using it? And she was happy to do that. You know, as they were asking the questions, she would write down the answers as they came to her, letter by letter. And I have the original papers that they were written on, and she was glad to get rid of it. Now, do you want to know some of the questions that she asked on this Ouija board? There were many of them. I have only a few of them here. Some of them I couldn't put in print, but here are a few of them. One question was, what are you? And it spelled out a ghost. Next question, where are you? And it spelled out in hell. Next question, she said, well, there are no ghosts in hell. Are you sure that you are a ghost? And the answer came back, no, you are right. I am Satan. Next question. How old are you? This was the answer that was spelled on the Ouija board. 1 billion years. Now, we have no idea when Satan was created. We know that he lived long before this world was created. But is it possible that Satan could be 1 billion years old before he fell? That's possible. We don't know. We can't believe him anyway, but at least that's the information we have directly from his mouth. Next question. Did you ever have a name before the name Satan? And do you know the name that was spelled out on this Ouija board? Lucifer. Question. Where did you live when you were called Lucifer? And it spelled out heaven. Is that right? That's right, according to the Bible. That's where he was before he was kicked out. Question, why aren't you in heaven now? Now, that could be rather an embarrassing question to ask Satan. But this Ouija board spelled out, because a man kicked me out. Question, what man? The board spelled, God. Is that right? Question, do you want me to take you to church? Now, this was rather a silly question for this lady to ask. You know what it spelled out? The board says, God I hate. Next question. Why do you hate God? And here is the answer. He had more power. Wasn't that the conflict in heaven? Satan wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to be God. He became jealous of God. And Satan says the reason why he hates God is because God had more power. Question, did you ever see Jesus Christ? The board spelled, please don't ask me that because I can't answer. Satan will not talk about Jesus Christ. Question, what are you here for? That meant here in our house. And the answer was, to get converts. Is that what Satan's doing in our world? Question, have you gotten any converts since you have been here, that is in our house? And it's spelled out, G-O-D-D-A-M-N, no. Question, we believe in God. What do you think of that? Answer, you are stupid to believe in God. Question, what powers do you have? The answer, hate and fire forever. Now, isn't Satan's greatest power in this world that of hate? Hate between people, bringing trouble and war and conflict and murder and everything else. Hate is one of Satan's greatest pieces of warfare. Now, by this time, this woman was very much disturbed. And she simply said, I'm going to call a preacher. But right away, the board got busy and it spelled out this answer. You will get no help. Satan knew who she was going to ask, and Satan knew all about this preacher and knew that she would get no help. Because when she went to talk to the preacher about it, he says, oh, don't worry about that. Doesn't amount to anything. She got absolutely no help, and Satan knew all about it. Yes, Satan knows all about each one of us. But in this same answer where Satan says, you will get no help, he said, I will rule the world and God will be nothing. Question, do you have a sense of humor? Spelled out H-E-L-L, yes. Question, if I threw you, that is a Ouija board, into the fire, what would you do? And it spelled burn, yeah, 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 which indicated laughing. Question, why are you laughing? The answer, I am happy, but God I hate. Notice, that's his punchline all through. Question, why don't you talk to Gene? Gene was another member of the family. Answer, Satan says, because he hates Satan. Question, why don't you talk to Hubert? Answer, he believes in God. Believe in me and love me, was the answer. Question, does Parker Brothers Incorporated, that's the manufacturer of this Ouija board, does Parker Brothers Incorporated know that you are in this Ouija board? And the answer, oh my no. Question, do we have to have our hands on this board? Now I want you to listen carefully. You know, one person doesn't sit down and work a Ouija board, as far as I know, two people. Each one with a hand on there. Do we have to have our hands on this Ouija board? And here is the answer that Satan gave on this board. He says, I have to have help to overcome God. Which is saying in so many words that you must cooperate with Satan, otherwise he cannot invade your life. Isn't that right? Satan cannot invade your life unless you're willing to cooperate with him. And when you sit down and place your hands on it, you are appealing to Satan, and he will then cooperate with you. Question, how many hands? And it says two. Then while they would be holding the different things in their hands, such as a pencil or a book or whatever it is, they would ask, what do I have in my hand? And the board would spell out just exactly what it was, whether it was a pencil or a book or whatever. So this power that answers on the board can not only hear your questions, but it can see. It sees what you have in your hand and it spells it out for you. Then another lady who was present on a particular day there, she asked this question, what happened to my firstborn child? And the board says, he died. Question, where did he die? This board spelled, in Wichita, Kansas, in a hospital. Question, how old was he when he died? 8 years was the answer. This intelligent power knows all about your life, your family, your history. And this is not based on electricity or gravity or any other physical attraction of any kind. The water witching stick will do anything that the Ouija board will. Did you hear me? The water witching stick, the wand, will do anything that the Ouija board will. You can ask any questions you want, and it will answer you the same as the Ouija board. All such activities are a form of witchcraft. Major General Jadel Scott Elliott, who is the president of the British Society of Dowsers, a world organization, he knows more about dowsing and water witching and divining than anyone here today, and probably more than almost anybody else in the world. And he made this statement publicly before a big convention that they had. He says, make no mistake about it. What all of us are doing here at this convention is witchcraft. In another age, we all could have been burned for it. The most knowledgeable dowsers tell us plainly that their activity is witchcraft. They know what they're doing. Now, most average water witchers are not aware of the power that they're dealing with. The average individual that has not studied it and researched it, they do not know the power that they're dealing with. Brother G.H. Renfro, a Christian man of Colton, California, spent 3 years researching all aspects of water witching. And he was visiting a water witcher from Elsinore, California, who used a wand. And Renfro asked this man, he says, have you ever asked questions of your wand? And the man says, no, he'd really never thought of that. Renfro said, would you be willing to try? And he says, yes. So the question, how many wells, Renfro said, are on my son's property? So he asked an audible question, and his wand indicated immediately that there were two. And that was correct. Many, many other questions were asked audibly, and his wand gave the answer. Now, anything that a water witcher uses, regardless of what it is, will answer questions. We've already shown you the forked stick, the pendulum, the wand, a piece of wood, something else they use are what is called the L rods. You hold them like this and you walk across the ground. And you, when you come to the place to find what you're wanting to locate, they will cross like that. And you know that is the place. And then besides this, there is one farmer would just pick up a crowbar or a pipe that he happened to have. And he'd go out across his farm to try to locate where water could be found. And as he would walk along, finally he'd come to a place where it would turn up on the end like this. And where it does that, then that is the place where your water is. Now, what caused that to turn up on end? Why did the end go down? Why didn't the back go down? And then you'll wait just a while and it will come up again, level. Then you wait and watch a little bit, and it will bob a little bit. One, two, three. And count the bobs, and it'll tell you exactly how many feet down to water. For instance, if it bobbed 33 times, you know you'd have to drill 33 feet to water at that spot. However, if you were in a country where the metric system is used, then it would have bobbed only 10 times because it is in meters rather than feet. So your crowbar or your pipe knows the difference between feet and meters. You say that's electricity? You say that's gravity? Ridiculous. This is a supernatural intelligent power that knows what's underground, and he knows who he is working with. Anything at all that you want to use, you can even use just your pencil. That's all you need to use. It'll do the same thing. And when you're in the dowsing and water witching business long enough, all you need is your fingers. That's all you need. You are appealing to a supernatural power to work through you. And when you submit yourself to this supernatural power, it does work through you. Water witching and dowsing are not based upon electricity or magnetism in any way, but on a supernatural, intelligent entity which can communicate with humans in any language. They can understand any language in the world, and they can give answers in any language that which humans use. if a Spanish person asks a question in the Spanish language of his stick, that stick will respond in Spanish. If a Russian asks a question in the Russian language, it will spell out the answer or will answer it in the Russian language. Now, Larry Goddard was innocently drawn into water witching, and he was deceived for several years. And after many months, while he was using his pendulum, of course, he always before watched the action of it, and it would tell him either yes or no. But after a long period of time that he'd been using it, when he'd ask a question, before the pendulum would start to react, he would hear an audible answer that would say yes, or that would say no, even before the pendulum had a chance to respond. Soon the voice was speaking to him in full sentences, and the voice sometimes continued to talk with him for hours. And on one occasion, the voice said that he ought to go to church. Well, now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So he went to church for a period of time. And then the same voice said that all of this church business is wrong, reversed his information. Then the voice told him about spaceships, that a spaceship would come and pick him up. This was in the year 1972. And also that spaceships would rescue God's people from this world. Then the voice told him that he ought to make a trip out west. And then later on it reversed the information, told him he ought to go back. And much, much weird instruction. Now later on, Larry Goddard began to doubt this voice. And this voice became very threatening to him. On one occasion the voice said, "Gather up all of your medicines and swallow them." Then it said, "Take a rifle and shoot yourself." Another time he says, "Take your hunting knife and use it on yourself." And then the voice admitted that he was Satan. Satan, who was working through the pendulum from the start and all the way along. Then Satan said to Larry Goddard, "If you will bow down to me and give me your allegiance and acknowledge my power, you will no longer need a pendulum, for I will guide you by my voice to whatever treasure your heart can desire." And it all started with water witching. What power is behind the water witching, dowsing, and divining arts? It is the power of Satan. Now, Harold Renfro gave studies to a man who later became a Christian. He was a water witcher. And after some period of time, this man who was converted, he came across his water witching stick, and he took it out and tried to work it, and it did not work. And the Holy Spirit flashed the thought to his mind that he was now a Christian. And he considered that was enough. And he said he would flee from any such thing from this point on. I have a book here entitled Dowsing, An Exposé of Hidden Occult Forces by Ben G. Hester, printed in 1984. It is probably the best book that I have read on the subject. Now, the author, Ben Hester, I read on page 58 this statement. He says, "We wrote to a doctor whom we had known here as an accomplished dowser. He had moved out of the state, and we had not heard from him for about 3 years. He seemed surprised at our inquiry, and he stated that he had lost his ability to douse when he had been converted to Christianity and had become a born-again Christian. This puzzled him until one day, as he was reading his Bible, he ran across the biblical proscription against divination." Now, divination is simply another word for dowsing. "He concluded that he had been saved from serious trouble." Now, sometimes when the dowser is using his stick, it reacts in different ways. Sometimes it is forcibly taken out of his hand and thrown hundreds of feet away, and the spot where it lands is the place to drill for your water. Now, wouldn't this seem to indicate to you that a supernatural power is involved? Water witching and dowsing and divining has been known for centuries, many, many centuries, clear back to Bible time. Martin Luther was familiar with it in his day, but his simple statement was this: water witching is satanic. The water witchers will also admit that they must have faith in their witching in order for it to work. You must express faith in it. You know, the Bible says we should have faith in God, doesn't it? You have to have faith in your witching in order to make it work. And they also admit that the presence of a non-believer will hinder their process. And that proves that it is not based on the scientific principle if it's dependent upon a silent inward faith, but that a supernatural, intelligent entity is at work. Now, if water witching or dowsing was based upon any scientific principle such as magnetism or electricity, it would be consistent 100% of the time, such as a magnet. It always draws iron to it, never draws brass. If a magnet sometime would refuse to draw iron, would draw brass to it, it would no longer be a scientific principle. And many water witchers are wrong much of the time because Satan isn't always too careful about telling the truth or being consistent. Water witching came from ancient paganism, and we're counseled by the God of heaven not to learn the ways of the heathen. In Jeremiah 10, verse 2, I read, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." The heathen, we're told, asked counsel of a stick. I read here from the King James Version, Hosea 4, verses 1 and 12. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. My people ask counsel of their stocks," or sticks, "and their staff declareth unto them." Now, the New American Bible renders verse 12 this way: "They consult their piece of wood, and their wand makes pronouncements to them." That's describing dowsing very, very definitely. And all forms of divination are forbidden. Let me read here quickly from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 10 and onward a ways. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divinations," or dowsing, "or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." All right, that's what the Bible says on this subject. Now, in the last days, many people are going to be deceived by many different manifestations of Satan. In 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Let me read this statement from Great Controversy, page 516. "There is nothing the great deceiver fears so much as that we shall become acquainted with his devices." Notice that? We are now becoming acquainted with Satan's devices. Volume 4, page 207. Satan is constantly seeking the ruin of those who are ignorant concerning his devices. Again from Great Controversy, 508. "While men are ignorant of his devices, this vigilant foe is upon our tracks every moment." Volume 8, page 290. "We are living in an age of great light, but much that is called light is opening the way for the wisdom and arts of Satan." From Volume 2 of Spiritual Gifts, page 277. "I have been shown that Satan has not been stupid and careless these many years since his fall, but has been learning. He has grown more artful. His plans are laid deeper and are more covered with a religious garment to hide their deformity. The power of Satan now to tempt and deceive is tenfold greater than it was in the days of the apostles. His power has increased, and it will increase until it is taken away. His wrath and hate grow stronger as his time to work draws to a close. Yes, water witching is a part of the ever-increasing occult movement. In Danville, Vermont, in the year 1960, the Great American Society of Dowsers was organized, and many hundred people attended this convocation. Quoting from Time magazine of October 9, 1978, at the Dowsing Convention headquarters in Danville Town Hall, piles of books on the occult are offered for sale, from the works of Edgar Cayce to studies of the UFOs and the Bermuda Triangle. Dowsing buffs can also buy every kind of tool from the little plastic rods at $1 a pair to miraculous electronic black boxes priced $65 that purportedly discharge toxic vibrations from your mind, emotions, and etheric body. Explains Raymond Wiley, the society's secretary and a retired General Electric engineer, dowsing for water is only the bottom rung of the ladder. Now these powers are used for everything from determining what foods to eat to finding lost objects and lost people. From as far away as Alaska and New Zealand, nearly 600 people have descended upon Danville. Some came to find water, of course, but just as many others are in search of panaceas for depression, mysterious cures for stubborn ailments. Says Society spokesman Ted Kaufman, "It's the spirit of the times, a great belief in things that science cannot seem to explain." The analytical dowser, McLean, who still works as a chemical engineer in Portland, claims that he can divine the arrival of oil tankers even when they are still beyond the horizon. He adds, "Doesn't make any difference how far the object is away if you have the power." All right, here at this convention, there was a man who lost his wallet. And the convention was going to close. Everybody was going to go home the following day. And so he went to appeal to one of the dowsers there. And this man said that, "I see a cream-colored car associated with your wallet. But there's nothing that you can do about it. Just relax and you'll get it back in a couple of hours." So he wasn't very much impressed with finding his wallet, for what he said. So he went and talked with another man. And so this man pulled out his little rod and asked a question. And can it be found before 6 o'clock? And it answered yes. Can it be found before 5 o'clock? And he went on until he got the time from his stick that it could be found at 12:50, that is 10 minutes before 1. And so he says, "You'll get your wallet back at 10 minutes to 1. Well, the fellow who lost the wallet still wasn't very much pleased with this. So he went and talked with another one of the dowsers there, and he got out his pendulum and asked where he lost it. Well, he thought it was there in Danville. "No," he says, "it's not in Danville. Were you some other place?" So he mentioned that he was in St. Johnsbury the day before. And he says, "That's where it is. It's there in a drugstore or just outside." So the man who lost the wallet got on the phone and called the drugstore. But the lady that answered said that they searched and they have not found any wallet there at all. So the next day they passed through St. Johnsbury. So he decided he was going to stop and investigate for himself. He found that the drugstore was closed, that he had called and been closed all day, so that he knew that he could not have talked with anybody there. So rechecking in the phone book, he found that he'd... surprised. I would like to tell you some other things here. I'm going to have to skip some of this. But the dowsing stick was used in the war. It was used in the Korean War, not to find underground water, underground pipes, but to find underground tunnels. Now, a tunnel is simply an open space filled with air. Here in the United States, they made up a mock-up village, like what they have over there in Vietnam, with all of the maze of tunnels underneath. And so here was a fellow who was a dowser, and they wanted to see if he could locate those tunnels. So he got his stick. He knew absolutely nothing about where the tunnels were. And there followed him a man with his writing board and so on. And he went over the ground there, and this man located virtually every single one of the maze of tunnels that were underground, even the slope that they dipped down, just from his witching stick. Is there an electrical attraction there? Not at all. The dowsing arts originated among heathen peoples. Jeremiah 10, verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen. Do you know that during the Dark Ages, the authorities of the Church of Rome took the stick and went out to find where the Protestants were hiding and found them, and they were executed. Does that tell you something about the power behind the stick? It should. To further illustrate the power behind the water witching sticks, on the island of Bermuda, which is 15 miles long and 3 miles wide, there was no usable drinking water there, only rainwater. And for a period of 350 years, they had no well of water, drinkable water. And geologists claim that no fresh water could be found there. But Henry Gross heard about that, and he got out his stick, and he was 800 miles away. And so he asked his stick, is it possible that there is good water on the island of Bermuda? And his stick answered him that there are three sources of good water there on the island of Bermuda. So then he got out a map of Bermuda. And so he held the stick and he had a friend help him. And the friend slowly went over the map with his pencil back and forth to cover every little portion of it. And when the stick would go down, he said, make a circle there. And they made the circle of the three places on Bermuda where water could be found. One was found at Loyal Hill in Devonshire province at 15 feet, the stick said, and it would yield 42 gallons per minute. When they went over there the following spring, they found that well on March 23, 1950, and instead of yielding 42 gallons, it yielded 44 gallons. But that was pretty close, wasn't it? And I could mention all the rest of these, but we just cannot take time to do it. I just would like to give you more of this information, but we are running out of time. I'm going to skip some of this. Henry Gross was at a summer camp where there were many children gathered together, and they had their motorboat out there on the lake, and they didn't fasten the motor quite as tight on the boat as they should have. When they got out there on the lake a ways and turned a corner, the motor flipped off and fell into the water. So they asked Henry Gross if he could help them. So he cut a stick out of the tree, and he asked the stick, in what direction is the missing motor out in the water? So he held it like this and turned slowly, and finally when it went down, he said, it's right out in that direction. So then he asked the stick, how far is the motor from shore? Is it more than 100 feet? And the stick had dipped down. Is it more than 500 feet? It did not dip. Is it more than 400 feet and a dip down? He continued that way until he found that it was exactly 452 feet from where he was standing. Then he asked the question, how deep is it in the water? And it spelled out to him that it was 16 feet deep. So they got themselves a long stick with a hook on it, went out there in another boat and measured the exact distance. They reached down and they hooked the motor and they got it out. Now, did that stick know that it was 452 feet from where Gross was standing? Did that stick know that it was 16 feet in the water? The same camp, a girl lost her pen in the grass, so they asked him, can you find the pen for me? Now it was not finding motors, now it was not finding water, but it was finding a lost pen. You can line up a row of people, all of you people in the church could line up, give the name, the first name of one of the individuals, and walk along that row, and this stick will pick out that person if you have named it. One man, he would drive to the home of a friend, and before he'd go to the door, he'd take out a stick and ask, is there anybody home? And the stick would tell him, is John home today? I wanted to see him. And it'll tell him if he was home or not. So you don't even need to go and ring the doorbell. One water witcher claims that he can locate anyone, anywhere in the nation from his stick. He could cause anyone to become ill or healed with his stick. He can locate disease in any part of one's body and treat it without coming near the person. All he needed was a picture of the person. Distance was no problem. And he admitted plainly that spirits were involved with what he was doing. This particular water witcher says that his counseling spirit was that of Moses. And on one occasion, he was in a restaurant. And there was a woman sitting not far from him that was smoking a cigarette, and he didn't like it, so he asked her if she would put it out, and she refused. So he reached into his pocket, and he had a little stick in his pocket, and he pointed it directly at her, and she immediately became deathly sick and had to be helped out of the restaurant. There are so many things here that I just cannot cover, but this one you might be interested in. One dowser had a particular wand that was hollow in the end. You could go to Sacramento if you wanted to, go all over town, do your shopping, and come back. And then if you take a little piece of paper, write your name, the license number of your car, on that little piece of paper, he'd roll it up and put it in the end of the stick. He could lay out a map of Sacramento, and he could show you every single street that you drove on all day long, every place that you parked your car. Water witchers can do all this and much more. Satan knows every place that you have been. There is no place that you can hide in this world, either now or in the future, except in Jesus Christ. Tell me, do you think that the God of heaven is playing around with sticks and strings and wires and rods? Never. The God of heaven is not doing that. Dear friends, I appeal to you, do not play around with any of Satan's devices. The Bible has warned us against these things. I've given you just a little bit of evidence of this. I trust that you'll put it to heart. If you know of anybody that is involved in this, innocently probably, I wish that you would tell them that they would be able to get a recording of this message and this material. May the Lord guide you and keep you safe with him is my prayer.